We want now to look at our ninth point. And this one's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. Oh, boy. Don't procrastinate. Oh, procrastinators. They frustrate everyone. They frustrate marriages. They frustrate church. They frustrate people at work. Did you know there's a procrastination day? Did you know that? Oops, I forgot it again this year. Procrastination can be sin. When you don't follow through with your work and you don't do your work because you procrastinate, you need to deal with this problem. Get down on your knees and deal with it before God. Often procrastination is connected to undiscipline, an undisciplined life. A person who's just their emotions take control of them all the time. So I want to plead with you to deal with this problem. If you're a shepherd of God's people and you're a procrastinator, you're a troublemaker, and I know, I can tell you, the people in your church are going to be frustrated with you, and your fellow elders are going to be frustrated with you. If you're a procrastinator, pray about it every day. Ask for grace and strength and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is self-control, and confess when you procrastinate on your divine duties that you are given. You confess that to the Lord because it's a serious matter. You are hurting other people. You're probably hurting your marriage. A good thing to do if you're a procrastinator is learn to do the hardest jobs first. Whatever you have to do and it's hard and you don't want to do, do those first. So every week, Monday, when I used to preach regularly at our church, I would always work Monday, all day Monday, cut the whole day out from anything else and spend the day on my sermon. There's a lot of reasons for that, and I explained that in our series on teaching. It allows you to allow the mind to all week work on this material. But do that first. If you have a phone call to make, if you have a visit to make, do that phone call right away. Get it done immediately. In fact, some of you shouldn't even leave your elders' meeting until you get some of those phone calls done or some of those assignments. Get it done. Put it first. Put the things you don't want to do, put them first. And then, of course, make it your conscious requirement, your conscious effort to follow through with a job someone gives you. Decide, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do it right away. I'm not going to procrastinate. If you're a procrastinator, get help. Talk to someone else. Set up some kind of schedule. Have your spouse help you. Have a friend help you. But do not be a lifelong procrastinator. You will not use much of the great talents God has given you if you procrastinate. You will not learn. You will not grow. You'll always be behind things. Learn to be prompt. Don't leave people hanging. If people get to you or people call you, don't push them off and push them off. Get back to them. You know, I've heard this complaint about elderships many times. People ask the elders a question and they don't get back to them. No, get back to people promptly. Tell them when you're going to get back to them. And if you don't, apologize for it. So please, don't be a procrastinator. Don't be a procrastinating shepherd, because procrastinating shepherds see a lot of dead sheep. 10th, don't be a slave to the phone. Oh, the phone has become such an intrusion into our life. I was once at the gym and I was working out on a machine there, and next to me was another man. So I started talking to the man, found out that he was a lawyer. And I always like to ask people in certain professions that I'm not familiar with what they learn, what their problems are, get advice from them, counsel from them. So I said, what's one of your biggest problems? What's one of your greatest frustrations? And oh, I thought he was going to stop. And he said, you know, I don't have a minute of peace. That phone is ringing, and people expect today that I'll immediately get back to them. Doesn't matter what I'm doing, where I am. They want you to get back immediately. We're in the day of speed. Not only overwork, overcommitment, but speed. People want things done immediately. And he says, it's just a constant intrusion into my life. I have no peace. And I could feel his frustration. Well, my dear friends, you can control the phone. You have to control the phone. You have a phone answering machine. Put it on the answering machine. And you know, it will not be wrong if you turn your phone off at time. When we eat dinner, we turn that phone off. When we're with our family, we turn that phone off. There's nothing that important that we cannot turn it off. Control the phone. Control people's access to you day and night. This is a whole new age. This did not exist when I first started ministry. And I've seen these changes. I've seen these intrusions. There's no peace. There's no quietness. You're connected all the time. This is not good for your brain. It's not good for your life. It's not good for your marriage or your children or anything else that's decent and human. So you are responsible to turn that phone off, turn it on, let people know you will get back to them, but it may not be immediately. Unless it's an absolute emergency or you have a job such as a doctor and you have to be on call. But even doctors today are smart enough to know to share their calls with others and to take time off and let other doctors fill in for them. Control the phone. 11th, and this is one you've been waiting for. You thought I was just talking about work, 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 work. Well, here is one we all wait for. Plan for rest, exercise, and family. The Lord wants you to do this. He wants you to have a balanced life. He doesn't want you to have a cluttered life that you're frustrated, you have no joy, you're going around, you're a sourpuss, you look like you've been weaned on a dill pickle, baptized in lemon juice. He doesn't want Christians like that. There should be joy. There should be blessedness to life too. Listen to this wonderful verse from the Gospel of Mark, Mark 6:31. In fact, I remember one time I was in a hotel room. I was frustrated, busy, 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 all that stuff. And I was reading in Mark's Gospel in the hotel room, and I came to this verse, and it was like an arrow went into my head. And I said, oh, Lord, thanks for this verse. It's Mark 6:31. The Lord Jesus, after he had sent the 12 out to preach, they came back, and listen to what he says to them. Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. I want to read that to you again because some of you are probably drooling at the mouth right now saying, I never saw that verse before. Yes, the Lord wants us to rest. God gives his people rest. Listen to this, Mark 6:31. Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. Isn't it interesting? Rest a while, but a desolate place, a place of peace. A place away from the people, away from the work. You need to get away from all that work. I do my very, very best to always take Saturday off. Try not to work on Saturday. And to give it to the family and to have time for hiking. We love to take our children, our grandchildren, hiking out into nature, into a desolate place, or just do something to get away from work and get away from all those responsibilities. Refresh your soul. Actually, on Saturday, I like getting up very early and having longer devotions and longer Bible reading, the time with God, and same and late in the evening, and then to spend time with the family. God wants you to rest. And recuperate yourself. Fill up the gas tank. Refresh yourself. You can't just go 7 days a week. It's not the Lord's will. So the Lord's not trying to kill us. He's trying to bless us. We're the ones trying to kill ourselves. Take time off. Take time for exercise. Take time to rest. It is the Lord's will. Fill up that tank so you have a long-term ministry. I often say this to our younger elders. We don't want you to be a 3-year elder. We want you to be a 40-year elder, a 30-year elder. And if you do that, you have to pace yourself. You have to time yourself. You have to get away. You have to rest. You know, in our modern society, there's hardly any time for this. I see this in my son-in-laws. They have to be connected all the time. Connected, yes, to the business because they've got emails coming in. They've got phone calls coming in. They have Facebook and they've got text messages all day, all day. They can hardly get away from it. And they feel guilty when they're away from it. It becomes very addictive, the whole thing. Go to a desert place. Go to a lonely place. Go out into the forest. Go take a long, long walk where no one is around. Good for your body, by the way, and good for your brain, good for cleaning yourself out. Spend time in the Word of God with nothing else to do, just read and talk to the Lord and meditate. Oh, these are such healthy, healthy things for the soul and for your ministry. You need to rest. And then 12, pray about your overbusyness and schedule. Since self-discipline is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, you can pray about this and ask God to develop in your life a more orderly life, a more disciplined life. And then 13th, learn to say no. Oh, how important it is to practice the word no. In fact, I want you to practice it right now. I'm going to say it. I want you to say it with me. No. No, I didn't. It wasn't loud enough. Let's say it. No. Look in the mirror and say no. You're not the Messiah. You cannot do everything. You are very, very limited. Learn to say no. Keep your priorities straight in this very busy, busy, crazy, high-speed, manic world we live in. Learn to say no. Put God's things first. Put your family there. Put your work, your employment. That is what you have to see first. And you know what? You cannot do everything. You have to limit yourself. Let me read a wonderful quotation. You've probably heard me read it before, but it's been a very impactful quotation by the great D. Martin Lloyd-Jones in his book, Spiritual Depression. I want you to listen to this very carefully. I defy you to read the life of any saint that has ever adorned the life of the church without seeing at once that the greatest characteristic in the life of that saint was discipline and order. Invariably, it is the universal characteristic of all the outstanding men and women of God. Obviously, it is something that is thoroughly scriptural and absolutely essential. Why don't you copy that quote down, put it on a plaque, put it someplace in your Bible so you have it with you. Now, one final point, four major point. Be a delegator. Busy people have to learn to delegate, push things off. We see it in Acts chapter 6. The apostles were too busy. They were ministering the word and ministering mercy ministries. And finally they said, we cannot do this. And so they appointed 7 men to take all the mercy ministries off their hands. Taking care of the widows, taking care of the impoverished members in the church, collecting and distributing the church's funds so that they could concentrate on their primary commission, which was the gospel and teaching the things of God. Elders need to remember they cannot do everything. They should not do everything. Good elders need to be delegating all the time. I heard of an eldership where they spent 40 minutes discussing the right cleaners to hire to clean the carpet. Talk about a wasted elders meeting. What they needed to do is spend 30 seconds and delegate that job to someone else, call them up and ask, would you find the best carpet cleaners to clean our carpets? What a waste of an elders meeting, and what terrible, terrible shepherding. Good elders prod people, equip people, protect people, mobilize, approve, lead. We are putting people to work. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, the work of the ministry is in everyone's hands, the building up of the body. So learn to be a delegator. Think in terms all the time of delegating and getting more and more people involved. And when you delegate, give people the responsibility. Give them the authority to do it. Identify what needs to be done. Select the right people. Tell people what is expected of them. Give people proper accountability and ownership of the job. And then release them to do the job. Good leaders are always good delegators. You can't do it all. It's not possible. You'll be the most frustrated person around. And I know you'll be miserable. And you'll be miserable to be around. You want to be blessed and you want to be joyous. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul says. So learn to hand your jobs off to others. And that means giving them the responsibility. They may not do it as well as you do it, but it will relieve you. Have good helpers. Hand things over to other people. Let the church know we need your help. We cannot possibly do all these things that need to be done. Tell them this. Appeal to them. Prod them on. Take your responsibility. Set before them the biblical vision. Every member ministry. Every member bearing fruit. Every member being given a life of good works and good deeds. The one anothering. Everyone gifted. Remind them over and over again. Talk to them personally. When you see people with gift, ask them, how can we employ your gift in our church? There's ways you could help us. Let them know this. You are needed in this church. Be a good delegator. Be an organized, orderly, self-disciplined leader, and you will be a happy leader, and you will have very happy sheep.